thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Hi there.
Here's John Williams.
This is John. Mm-hmm. 110. I see some blue skies, some white clouds, and some rain on Michigan Avenue. The umbrellas are up and the people are getting soaked, or at least sprinkled upon. We're here until 3 o'clock. Big thoughts and some little ones coming your way. Remember now, tickets are currently on sale for our annual conversation with Teddy Roosevelt at the College of DuPage. It'll be the second Saturday in August. There will be two shows, one at 10, one at 11. That's at the College of DuPage, where we often have these conversations. And tickets just went on sale. The shows always sell out. Teddy Roosevelt's conversations with us are live, unrehearsed, spontaneous. You get to ask questions, too. And they are always as informative as they are uplifting and funny. Roosevelt was a great storyteller, led an extraordinary life. And for him to come back to the Chicago area and talk to me on stage, and you too, will be exceptional. I wanted to talk more about that today, but because of the news from this morning, we won't dwell on it. But do go get the tickets. All the information is at our website if you go to WGNradio.com/events. Go to WGNradio.com/events. All the information you need is there. On a phone line is Congressman Peter Roskam from Illinois, of course. Congressman, it's John Williams, and you're on WGN Radio. Good morning.
John, good to be with you.
Yeah, good afternoon. I'm thinking about this morning. Where were you when you heard the news today?
I was in a car on my way to give a speech to the National Association of Home Builders. We had a group in from Illinois, and I was up to greet them. And as I was listening, you know, looking at my phone, getting the details, at first I didn't believe it. I just thought, no, this is not accurate. And then we turned the radio on and got the news locally, and then all of the other news began to cascade in. So I was not out at the baseball practice, but was in Washington at the time.
You don't participate in that event every year?
I don't participate. I go and I cheer my team, and they do a good job. And here's the interesting thing: there's a sweetness to it in that it's a bipartisan event. Both political parties in the House come together and play baseball, and it's a fundraiser for local charities in Washington. And you know, about 10,000 people come out to that game, and it's scheduled for tomorrow evening, and it's gonna the schedule is gonna continue. It's gonna be played tomorrow evening. And I think that's a good thing that it's not being canceled.
Yeah, let's just dwell on that point for a moment. Then I want to ask you a couple of other questions. But I agree with you. If they can do so safely, I think this is not only a moment for all of us to sort of pause and think about who we are and how we represent ourselves, and to remember that Republicans and Democrats alike are all working towards the same goal. They're just coming at it from different directions, and that's okay.
Yeah, that is okay. And I think that there's a, you know, it's unfortunate that it takes an event like this to make us all pause and come together. We were all together a couple of hours ago, nearly the entire House of Representatives, when we were briefed by the Capitol Hill Police about the details of the event as they knew them. And then both Speaker and Nancy Pelosi, you know, told the whole group, let's go up, open up the House together. And both of them had things to say directly to the House and to the country. So unfortunately, sometimes it does take events like this to prompt us to reflect. But when these events do come, we're wise to reflect on them.
I want to watch the game now. I don't know if ESPN is planning on broadcasting it or C-SPAN, but
they should be all over this thing. Absolutely.
Somebody should put that on TV.
The amount of interest will go way, way up, ironically, as a result of this.
This is what Speaker Ryan said. He said, we are united. He told you and your colleagues, we are united in shock. We are united in our anguish. An attack on one of us is an attack on all of us. He also said he'd seen an image of members of the Democratic congressional baseball team huddled in prayer after learning of the shooting. And he said, every day we come here to test and to challenge each other. We feel so deeply about the things we fight for and the things that we believe in. At times, our emotions can clearly get the best of us. We are all imperfect, but we do not shed our humanity when we enter this chamber. For all the noise and all the fury, we are one family. I'm so sorry it took this, as you just said, Congressman, to remind us of that, because that message has been lost lately.
Yeah, it has. And there's a, it is what it is. The history of the United States is an incredibly tumultuous one, we've seen it in our own lifetimes, and we've seen it in the past centuries as well, where, you know, the level of vitriol and so forth can reach a point where it just spills over and it becomes unacceptable. And I think that now is the time for people of good faith of all backgrounds and all political persuasions to say, look, we can clearly talk to one another. We don't have to talk past one another.
Yeah.
And we can try and engage in this in a substantive, constructive way.
And the it in that is, you know, I mean, I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but if you were going to then renew your faith in the Congress as a member of Congress, I wonder how you would enact that. How can you be a better congressman? Don't let this shooting be so senseless. How can you better reach across the aisle to get health care improved or to get a fair and, you know, an intelligent budget passed, et cetera? I wonder how we can go forward, you know?
Yeah, I think the thing to do is to recognize that there's two different levels of approaching this. One is the level of the substantive differences in terms of policy. And those are all serious and consequential, and there's nobody that's making an argument that says don't have certain opinions. But where there have been lines that have been crossed in Congress and all across our public life is a willingness to enter into ad hominem attacks, personal attacks, and so forth, where some of the language really crosses a line. As a result, it debilitates the general debate. So somebody like me, what I try to do and what I hope I'm doing is reflecting a constituency that says, look, let's get about solving these problems and let's speak to one another and recognize that there's plenty of opportunities to work together. And I'll tell you this, here's part of the nature of the challenge. Sometimes the news cycle is so attracted by the conflict that it isn't drawn into where people are working together. So, you know, there's any number of examples, if we had more time, but any number of examples where both sides are working together and producing something together, but it doesn't involve people snarling at one another on television or saying harsh things against one another on the radio. And as a result, it doesn't get the news attention. So I think that there's, you know, it's sort of a sobering time for newsmakers, and it's sort of a sobering time for news coverers.
I think you're right about that. By the way, one last thing. We understand that the shooter is from Illinois, or was from Illinois. Have you heard any more information about the targeting of Republicans, per se, or for that matter, Congressman Scalise himself? I know that this guy had actually liked a cartoon that said Scalise should be fired. Scalise was very involved in the health care bill, and this guy didn't like his position on it. It may have just been a coincidence that he happened to hit him, but maybe it was specific. Do you know any more about that?
I don't know. All I know is, you know, what we're all reading, and I don't have any specific insight or experience on that to add to the debate.
Okay. Anything last you want to say? This is a nice conversation, Congressman. I don't know that you and I have visited on the phone since I got back to WGN Radio, but we should talk more.
Yeah, I'd
now
welcome
again.
That. Look, here's one other point that really bears emphasizing. The heroism, and sometimes we throw that phrase around and we call all kinds of people heroes, the heroism on the part of the Capitol Hill police officers who were responding today saved, probably according to eyewitnesses, saved dozens of lives based on them moving towards the attacker.
Yeah.
And it's just a remarkable testament to public service and courage, and we owe them a great deal.
Yes, I understand it. Scalise was shot over by second base. He limps out into the outfield or crawls into the outfield to try and gain more distance. And at one point, one of the officers made a break for him, was shot in the process, and still injured, was able to return fire, may have actually delivered the final blow. Imagine what you're called upon to do in a situation like that, and would you have the wherewithal to do it?
Yeah, the capacity to do it, the instinct, the training, the background, and the confidence to do it. It is worthy of so much admiration.
Representative Roskam, nice to talk to you. Let's visit again.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, take care now. Our attention continues to focus not only on Washington, D.C., but the unfortunate connection to Illinois and Belleville specifically. On a phone line, Congressman Mike Quigley joins us. Congressman, welcome to the show. How are you this afternoon?
Thanks for having me on. Obviously, a very rough, bad day in Washington, D.C.
Where were you when you got the word? You weren't at the practice, right?
No, I was literally leaving my office to get on my bike and go to a meeting on the Hill, and a Capitol Police officer expressed warnings and I wasn't sure if it was okay to go out and suggested I put my congressional pin inside out.
That was your first word, first warning, huh?
Yeah, I've just gotten little blurbs in the news as I was walking out the door, and she informed me in greater detail of what had happened. So it was quite a shock for all of us, obviously, and most importantly, our thoughts are with those who were shot. Very concerned because I'm now seeing news that my colleague is out of surgery but in critical condition. Sort of gotten the impression that that he had stabilized. So our thoughts are with the congressman and his family right now.
Yeah, no kidding. Did you hear from family right away then? I suppose just on a very personal level, you must have all of a sudden
sure.
wanted to connect with the people that you're close to too, huh?
Well, as I got to my meeting several blocks from the Hill, my dad's ID came up on a call, so I suspect that's what happens. I remember we had a incident here on the Hill several years ago, right after the Naval Yard shooting, and there were shots fired, and a woman had crashed part of the gates, and she was killed. I went into my staffers and told them all, and the interns, call your family. So it's a day to think about that. It's a day to think about, security and the larger issues. Folks have said, do you have security routinely? Well, here in the Hill, in our offices we do, but it's just not practical. I mean, Mr. Scalise, his third-ranking Republican, so he had a detail with him, and thank God he did, because this would have been beyond a tragedy. This would have been a massacre. The officers were right there, and I'm hearing that they were heroic in their efforts to bring this perpetrator down. But there are 535 members. There are hundreds of events on and off the Hill. There's just no practical way to even have the kind of protection that Representative Scalise had there today on a broad basis.
Well, I was thinking along those lines myself this morning, and I thought, well, if the members of Congress are in committee, if they're on the floor, if they're at a maybe hotel banquet and they're at a convention, usually those are fairly protected places, and you've got to go through screening. This was described as a soft target in that you don't have those precautions. And I wondered, how often do you all get together, maybe three dozen of you, in one location where the public could walk right up and have this easy access? And I concluded to myself, Congressman, maybe incorrectly, that it was exceptional, that this does not happen that often, that an average citizen could get that close to that many of you.
Right. Well, it wasn't that long ago. It was months ago that someone made it through the magnetometers coming into the visitor center at the Capitol, and he was taken down by police. I had two tours of people, constituents nearby, who later told me, a woman said that her child asked her, "Mommy, are we going to die?" So the threats are here. When I see school groups here, sometimes on the East Capitol steps, I hear some of the students say, "Why do those men have machine guns?" Right? It's a dangerous world, unfortunately. It's appropriate, I think, today to remember in 1998, two Capitol police officers.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, too.
Killed right on the East Capitol steps, just inside, literally a gunfight inside the Capitol. So I put this into some sort of perspective here. There are threats here. It is important to protect because we're protecting the democratic process. But I'm also reminded that when we think about gun safety and issues like this violence, in my home city, I suspect that the number one fear Chicago school kids have is getting shot. So it's pervasive. It's a real tragedy today. We're going to try to address this here in terms of the security issues. But the most important thing today is our extraordinary thoughts and prayers with those who are victims, and particularly, you know, as we're hearing, my colleague is in critical condition.
I appreciate the update on that. I'll let you get back to your staff, family, friends, and colleagues. Thanks for joining us, Congressman.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Okay, so that's the first of a couple of conversations we'll have in the remaining minutes with members of our congressional delegation, Mike Quigley, the Democrat from the 5th, joining us from Washington. Also on a phone line right now, we reached out to, once again, a congressman from the 6th Congressional District. No, it's actually the 8th. Raja Krishnamurthy joins us now from, I guess, Washington, D.C. I presume that's where you are, Congressman?
Good afternoon, John. Yes, thank you.
You're in D.C. as well. I've been asking various colleagues of yours representing Illinois, where were they and how did they hear the news this morning? What was your connection to the story?
Well, I got a phone call very early. It's funny. I just left the gym and I was on my way to I'm a member of the bipartisan a group called the Bipartisan Working Group. And ironically, on my way there, I got the phone call saying that, you know, Congressman Scalise had been shot as well as others.
Have you heard any information about his status? We have heard conflicting reports. Earlier today, it sounded like he was stable, but one of your colleagues told us moments ago that he hears it's been upgraded to critical, I believe was the condition that he said.
I don't know, John. I do. I was, you know, I heard from the speaker actually earlier today that he thought the prognosis was good, but I don't know what has happened in the intervening time.
Are you planning on going to the baseball game then? I understand that's still going to be on for Thursday night.
Yes, I plan to drop by. You know, I do think that everybody in your audience. I hope that they can keep the victims of this shooting in their thoughts and prayers today. Obviously, Congressman Scalise is now dealing with his wounds. You know, there are a couple of Capitol Police officers who were also shot, an aide as well as a former aide to a member of Congress. And I understand that the former aide is struggling for his life. He's fighting for his life right now. He's going into yet another surgery. So today, I hope that we can all keep them and their families in our thoughts and prayers.
We are lucky that this wasn't worse than it was, aren't we? Lucky's not
the
right
word.
We're
very lucky. Yeah. Look, the Capitol Police, and for that matter, all of law enforcement deserves our gratitude today. You know, they put their lives on the line this morning to save the people who were on the field, and without them, many lives would have been lost. I don't know if you heard, but something like 50 to 100 rounds were shot off by the perpetrator, and it's a miracle that lives weren't lost instantaneously at that time.
So, how has life in Washington D.C. changed then? Were committee hearings held today? Were you working as a congressman today?
So, votes were canceled, and committee hearings have resumed for the afternoon. But votes were canceled. Instead, we had two special sessions. One was a security briefing at which we learned some more details about the actual shooting incident. And then the other was a session basically to come together and remember, you know, what happened today. And, you know, quite frankly, there was a call for the rhetoric to simmer down on all sides. And I think that was an entirely appropriate, you know, call to action, so to speak. And I think today we should obviously remember the victims in our thoughts and prayers and hope that they pull through and wish them a speedy recovery. But tomorrow, I hope that we draw some lessons from this, including that, you know, we have to remember first and foremost that we're all Americans. And you know, we have to treat each other with respect and dignity and civility, and we can disagree without being disagreeable. And I think that is hopefully what we put into practice, you know, as soon as possible.
Well, this isn't about Donald Trump, but I'll just start there because he's the president, and from the president on down to a talk show host in Chicago, I think you're right. It's been a very contentious time. We all have our positions, and the rhetoric and the sort of behavior is, I think, disappointing all of us at every level every day. And there's no room for this. And by the way, I trust you would agree that if a crazy person does something like this or an angry person does something like this, that's on them. That's their action. But we don't need to give them any more reason to behave that way. Stake out your principles, but let's not do anything to drive those on the margins to some sort of violent act.
That's absolutely correct. I agree 100% with what you said, John. And, the one thing is that I've been a congressman for 6 months now. I was elected in November. But one thing that you notice very quickly in Washington, D.C., and perhaps for that matter in other places as well, is that, people are they get attention for conflict and for, using very tough rhetoric on each other. As I heard the other day, sometimes the media doesn't really like to cover hugs and handshakes. Instead, they like hand grenades. And, that's what drives some people to, really go after each other in vitriolic terms. And, that just can't be the way forward. There's just too much important stuff that we got to do in a bipartisan way, whether it's healthcare or infrastructure anything else that really matters to working families.
Yeah, I would hope that that's the takeaway. Too bad it takes this. But so if you're in another committee meeting tomorrow or if there's a vote coming up, use this as a reason to stop all the contentiousness, compromise, get stuff done,
Right. And that was actually, I think, the sentiment that came out of the sessions this morning, but also like I said, we had this bipartisan working group meeting. I co-founded something called the Middle Class Jobs Caucus with a Republican member, and that's what we try to put into practice as much as possible. Let's try to find the places where we can agree and start from there, as opposed to find the places where we disagree and just kind of hurl insults at each other. And the idea is that if you can start from the places where we might agree, who knows, maybe we can build a little bit of trust and maybe a relationship and use that to then tackle some of the more, some of the more challenging issues. So that's what I'm hoping, and that's what I intend to put in practice as much as I possibly can.
Good luck to you, Raj. Let's visit again. I haven't met you in studio yet. You've jumped on with us a few times, sometimes for less serious occasions than this, but I'd love to meet you in studio sometime too.
Absolutely, John. Thank you for bringing attention to what happened today. And hopefully we use this as a, obviously I hope that we all can keep those victims in our thoughts and prayers and at the same time use it as a teachable moment.
Raja Krishnamurthy is a representative from the 8th Congressional District, the Democrat here in Illinois.